Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Today, two wonderful people, brilliant people, Dr. Alice Benton, for one, Chris Williams, for the other. Hi, guys.
Hi. Hi, fellas.
Well, we are really happy for folks to have, you've made it so far, almost halfway through summer, and I hope it's been a good summer, being a good summer for you. We've certainly had one around here. One of the things that I'm going to say in a sermon I'm giving this weekend is that growth occurs in groups, and it really does. And I would like to play a clip. Chris, you and Milam were talking about groups. You said something, and folks around here thought it was really good, and so I'm going to have Terry play a little. It's less than a minute on what you said about the value of groups and group counseling. Let's hear that.
What's the value of a group in your mind?
You know you're not alone.
Yeah.
And that the struggles that we experience are very, very common. Mm-hmm. And in the group process, you start realizing that other people have similar struggles. And the other thing is, like, people can express things that maybe you're feeling or thinking, but you can't quite access, and they say it, and you have this really positive Me Too moment. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh, that really helped me. It's incredibly insightful. One of the secrets that I let people know is that group therapy oftentimes can be actually more beneficial than individual. And what I would also say about the weekend, and I'm not exaggerating here whatsoever, it's about 6 months of therapy packed in to mm-hmm. 2.5 days. Mm-hmm. And the like you said, the breakthroughs that can happen are incredibly significant.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, we don't exaggerate about this, but the thing that a lot of people fear is, oh, if I go to this, I'm going to have to talk. But the thing you fear the most becomes the most healing thing mm-hmm. or one of the most powerful forces for you to get better. And we've got two great workshops coming up, Restore for women who have been impacted by men with sexual integrity problems. And then the other one, of course, is Every Man's Battle is this weekend. And we've been working on the second edition for Every Man's Battle. It's got some great stuff. It'll come out in a couple of months. But I'm going to tell you guys, life is better without being driven by those youthful lusts that the Bible tells us don't mm-hmm. do anything to stir them up. Everything's a counterfeit till you get to the real thing, and you can never get to the real thing if you're caught up in some kind of sexual addiction, dependency, obsession, compulsion, and we can help you this weekend. But right now, and you call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Right now, if you want to join us on this program, it's 1-800-229-3000. I'm going to say it again. 1-800-229-3000 to be on the program today. Now, if you support us, we're going to send you a gift. It is John Townsend's new book, People Fuel. And oh, is it a great one. John's been on a couple of times talking about it. He'll be on again. But it's just our way of saying thank you for supporting the ministry. And we have a matching gift. Larry will talk to us about that later. But this has really been a strong summer for us because some people stepped up and gave us a gift. And it really is. I mean, many, many ministries struggle during the summer. And we're having a good summer because you have come along. And if you haven't, what a great time to be, first time for you to give a gift to New Life. It gets doubled. It gets matched from somebody else. So hang in there. We're going to do 2 hours today with Chris Williams and Dr. Alice Benton, 1-800-229-3000. That is our number. And if you need help, you know, for anything, of course, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Really excited to be in the studio today with Chris and Alice, because lives can be changed just by beginning wherever you are to do something different.
Most of my life I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and I am preaching this weekend, northviewchurch.us. If you were to go to that website, northviewchurch.us, at 5 o'clock this Saturday, Eastern Time, 9 and 11 on Sunday, Eastern Time, you would be part of that message. 12 steps for anyone. You know, a lot of times we think the 12 steps are for drug addicts who got caught up with heroin or alcoholics. There's not one step that wouldn't benefit everybody. That's what I'm going to be teaching on this weekend. But right now we're going to go to the phones. Kathy has called us, 1-800-229-3000. She listens to the podcast. Kathy, welcome to New Life.
Hi, so glad to be on with all of you.
I'm glad you're with
listen
us.
Listen every day and always find something that I can learn from everybody else's phone call. So very encouraged by your show.
Thank you.
The reason I'm calling today is I was a widow. I was a widow 14 years, for 14 years. And after I raised my children were very little. After I raised my children, I decided to jump back into the dating world and got remarried about 2 years ago, and I'm not really sure if I really grieved the loss completely of my first husband. He was only 45 when he died, very suddenly, and it just seems to be like kind of bleeding into this marriage. We're having troubles, lots of troubles, blended families, blended jobs, just lots of things. So I guess my question is, how do I really know if I grieved this? I went to counseling after he died. I went to grief groups, but I kind of thought I was done with that. But once I remarried, it just kind of is just seeping through.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to let Alice start us off, and then Chris. But it's important to realize that even if you had done the most amazing job of grieving, total grief done, when you remarried, you most likely would have still had problems. It's just the reality of a remarriage where you hit a snag and you immediately go to, well, it wasn't like this before, and oh, it would be so different. But, you know, if you were with the other person at this stage in your life, it might have been just like this, you know, as people change and develop. So what I'm saying is, I think it's really important, first of all, to see that blending a family is so, so very hard. And the getting to that place of acceptance is even harder. This is what I thought I was going to have, but this is what I have. I'm going to accept it and make the best of it. But I really do believe, and I'll let Alice address this, I really do believe that you're a bright person and you've identified, hey, maybe there's some ungrieved loss there, and I'll let Alice address that.
Kathy, I think what you're describing is very normal, because it seems that God invites us to process through the layers bit by bit. And as we enter into new seasons of life, new things are revealed to us that maybe we had finished with previously at the time, but now there's some deeper layer that God wants to invite you into. So as you consider that you may need to go back in for more assistance grieving, whether it's in a group process or a church group, whatever it is, what are some of the obstacles for you to go back in and do more work now?
Really none, to be honest. I mean, we hit a bottom over the weekend, and at that point I reached out to my church and said, help, I need help. I need to talk to somebody. So they set me up with a counselor from church, and I have a lot of difficulty with the God thing. I'm mad. And I hate to say that because it sounds terrible, but I'm mad that, you know, my husband wasn't healed. You know, we prayed for healing, and mm-hmm. he was diagnosed on Wednesday and died that Friday of the same week.
Wow.
So
wow.
It was very, very quick. And I had three little children, you know, 5, 4, and 7. So I was left of a single mom with three little kids. So it was very quick. And everybody, church friends, everybody, you know, came and prayed for his healing. And I'm like, why? And everybody tells me, you know, you can't see the big picture. There's more, you know, God, there's a reason. And you won't know that. And you're going to beat yourself up over this if you keep saying why. So, my husband now is very involved in church. I try to stay involved in church, but there's always a part of me that just like, it just wells up inside of me and get angry. I'm like,
well,
I don't want to be here. And
grieving is doing the why thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so right while you're starting to grieve and work through the why, people are saying, oh no, you know, come on, wait, you'll see the big picture and all of that, which is a really stupid thing for people to say. What they need to say to you, why, is, hey, man, I don't blame you. I'd be there too. I'm here for you, whatever. That's what you really need so you could be free to grieve. What do you think could help now?
Well, Alice? Chris? Yeah, I think, Kathy, there's a lot of anger there. And in that process or stages of grief, that anger is legitimate. And I don't know if you ever had permission to be angry at God, to be angry at the situation, to be left in this horrifically painful situation without explanation, without reason. But it sounds like you did a phenomenal job of doing what you can and moving forward. But anger is sort of like a mob boss. If we ignore it for too long, we're eventually going to have to pay up. And typically what happens is that the closeness of relationship exposes the stuff that we have unresolved underneath. Intimacy exposes. And so you get into a new marriage, a new relationship, and my guess is that there is this trigger inside of you where your anger bubbles over, and it's frustrating.
Yes. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I think there's two things to work on here. Kathy, I really encourage you to get into a process, especially with a counselor, that can help you continue to work through the grief by addressing and confronting the anger inside of you, to no longer ignore it, but to acknowledge it and move through it. And then secondly, blended family is really, really difficult no matter who you are, and getting into some couples work is really important here.
Okay.
But just for today, you know, what how did you and your husband leave it the last time you talked about, you said you really hit bottom there. Where did all that go?
Well, he came to the marriage with no children. So that's kind of easy. And my children are still in the home. So we left it probably over the weekend. Like, you know, he said, I've had enough. I've been beat down too many times. You're very, you know, you're angry and you take it out on me, and I have nothing left to give. So he talked about moving out, you know, separating, saying, almost saying, like, you know, we've given it our all. and we're going to be one of those statistics that we just can't make it. I can't make you happy. But then, you know,
is he right?
Monday and we.
Is he right about
pardon?
That? Is he correct about that? Are you critical of him all the time? Does he reflect what's really going on there, that a man would think, I cannot make this woman happy, it's impossible?
I think a lot of times I am always, you know, a lot of times he'll say that, tell me, well, you know, maybe do it like this or whatever, it can be doing whatever. And I take it as a criticism a lot. And so that's where we bump heads a lot. Like, what's wrong with the way I'm doing? And I take it critically. And his response is always, I'm just trying to do what's best for us or for the family.
But Kathy, is it true that you beat him down verbally?
Not all the time.
So sometimes, Kathy,
yeah.
Sometimes,
I will admit,
sometimes it's true.
Yeah.
Okay. And do you want to save your marriage?
Yes.
Okay. You made such a good step in reaching out to the church, but I want to take what Chris said and add a lot of urgency to it, because if your husband is already talking about moving out, I want you to make that, let us set you up with a good clinician in your area today, because of course your husband is imperfect and he probably does criticize you. I believe that. But the way that you're reacting as well, and it may be in part grieving your husband, your previous husband, but there is some serious damage being done to your marriage, probably a bit from both sides, but you can do something about it today. And if you could go back to your husband today to tell him, I got set up with a counselor from New Life, I've got an appointment, I'm going in, I really want you to come with me because we can turn this around. We don't have to be a statistic. That would just be a flood of grace into your marriage.
Yeah.
And I did say to him, you know, I think I need to work on this. I don't think I've, you know, grieved all this over the weekend. And he said, you know, that's the first ray of hope that I've seen in the past months.
Okay. Let me tell you something. A lot of women would never admit that their reaction to his imperfection could be the thing that's really destroying the marriage here. And I think it's huge that you're not saying, oh, he overreacts whenever I say anything like that. And, you know, if he's telling you how to do everything different because it's better, then, you know, he's really contributing greatly to the problem, too. Why in the world have you not come to our marriage intensive and let us help you put this back together? I mean, we just had one. If you had been there,
an issue.
Okay, but see, we'll find a scholarship for you guys. We want to save your marriage. We'll the next one that we do, if you could hang in there, because if you've heard me talk about it, you know, it was the sickest group of people ever, and the absolute radical turnarounds were there. We can help you with this, but here's what you can do together today. You can both get out on your knees and say, God, help us see my part. God, help me see my part. Mm-hmm. God, help us be patient for the other person to work on their part. We've come too far. Too much has been invested in this. And for my legacy, I'm talking to you, for your legacy, Kathy, to be, my husband died, I never got over my anger with God, and once I ended up in this relationship and the reality set in, I didn't do everything I could. And look, there is nothing in the Bible that would ever, ever, ever justify somebody not being kind or saying mean things or cruel things. And so if you could get a little bit of counseling yourself, I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back. That's going to help you go from reactive living to responsive living. And let me tell you the word that will change your life once you hit it. It's the word acceptance. Once you have accepted your reality and are living in it, your life will be different. But your husband has to do the same thing. And there are those, when you don't accept your reality, you try to train the other person, you try to control them, make them different, everything. But acceptance is the step forward to hope. I really believe that with all my heart. But you never, ever get to acceptance if you don't even grieve the false expectations of this marriage. That kind of grief work may be more important than the grief work of a husband who died so long ago. To grieve the loss of the ideal, grieve the loss of all the things you thought were going to be better once you got married, usually those are the things that start to deteriorate pretty quickly. If there's any way I could talk to your husband, I would love to do that. I want to get your information because we got to get him staying put. I think you now have identified your problem. Now we need some time to start to make some progress with it. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000, 1-800-229-3000 to join us on the program.
Maybe you've seen something pop up on your husband's phone or a website on a computer, and you're just thinking something isn't quite right in my marriage, and you think it might have to do with sexual integrity issues. Well, you're not alone, and we have a place for you to come and connect with other women who have the same kinds of questions or who maybe already know the truth. Restore Workshop will educate you on the key issues and then connect you to a small group of women walking through the same difficult journey. Between main sessions and small groups, you walk in scared and alone and as strangers, and you leave having a support system that can help you see your way through this.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Dallas, Texas, July 19th to the 21st. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
God pulled me out of the gutter of my life that I was living in.
I have done a lot of work over the last 40 years. This is the first time I've ever felt love.
I've had such a wonderful weekend here, and for the first time in a long time, I've felt at home.
And the Lord has set me free from my mother's story about me not being good enough.
The New Life Finding Freedom Workshop is coming to Dallas, Texas, September 20th to the 22nd.
We're going
to
talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. There'll be 8 teaching sessions and 6 small group sessions.
To register or to learn more about the Finding Freedom Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I am living a new life, and I believe that I have the resources and tools to continue that.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and I'm going to tell you something. This marriage intensive we do is a dream come true for me. It helps so many people. But look, here's the coolest thing. When a guy goes to Every Man's Battle, which is this weekend, she goes to Restore, and then the next thing is they come to the Marriage Intensive. Oh, my goodness. It makes a huge, huge difference. So, please, if you need some help, whatever level you're at, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and let us help you. Let's talk to Rosemary from Richmond, Virginia, listening on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 131 at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, for all of you that didn't know about that. Rosemary, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a son, a 42-year-old son, and he professes to be a Christian man. He goes to a wonderful church in North Carolina, and even as a young teenager, he's always been rebellious. And we've worked with him. We've gone to therapy with him, and he got married, and his rebelliousness and his disrespect towards my husband and I continues. And we've had blowouts before, and the blowouts are basically because he doesn't like, well, this last time was because he didn't like the way we spoke to his children, and so, you know, I told him, son, if I tell you something about the kids, it's because I'm doing it out of love. I'm not doing it to be critical, and we just try to show him love. Well, this specific day, it was for Thanksgiving, he got drunk, and he just cussed us out. And so he called us the next day and said he was sorry, and that was it. And so my son, my husband called him after he left and said, you know, son, I understand you, this happened, and hopefully, you know, you won't do this anymore. This isn't healthy. And he didn't like that. My son didn't like that, that my husband told him.
Hold on a second here, Rosemary. Rosemary.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't know what question you're going to ask us, but before we do, everything that you're telling us about your son, this is what alcoholics do. They get drunk, they feel bad, they say they're sorry. Then, at the little, slightest little thing, they're right back in your face again, because maybe they're not drunk now, but they wish they were. Now, what has his wife ever said to you about his drinking?
Well, his wife, you know, she really doesn't have a relationship with us. She's very distant towards us. She never really says anything to us. You know, she just tags along with him. She's very quiet. She's like a passive-aggressive person to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. You know, we try to have a relationship with her.
Sounds like to me,
she never calls us.
Sounds like to me it's the perfect match with the codependent person who's very passive and an active alcoholic that needs to stop drinking.
Well, and he says that he's not an alcoholic. He says he doesn't drink. This was Thanksgiving, so he says it was an isolated situation. But my question is, you know, we have always told him we love him. We have always reached out to him after a blowout like this. And a lot of the arguments have not been alcohol-related. But we are the ones who reach out to him. And currently, my husband and I have not reached out to him again. It's been 8 months, and we are in constant prayer for my son. We have forgiven my son.
And he's not trying to get back in touch with you? He's not trying to get back in touch with you? Okay.
He's not. He's not trying to get back in touch with us. And you know, he's cut off our relationship with our grandchildren and with him, and it just grieves me. And so my question is, should I reach out to him because I'm the mature Christian, or because I'm his mother?
Why wouldn't your husband be the one that would reach out to him?
Well, because we always do. It's either him.
No,
or
why
me,
wouldn't your why wouldn't your husband reach out to him versus you reach out to him?
Well, my husband has. I mean, he in the past, because I mean this is a reoccurring thing. My husband has.
So Rosemary, can I jump in? Can I jump in here? I gotta jump in. Okay, listen. Your son feels your disappointment. He feels unaccepted, and he's felt like that for a very, very long time. And what he's continued to do is try to be his own person, but unfortunately, it's acted it out as rebellion. But the more you say rebellion, the more he adopts that. He's not going to draw close to you because, again, he feels the disappointment. He is constantly in protest mode. Would that be correct?
He's maybe, yeah, I think so.
Well, he's protesting because you say you love him and you say you forgive him, and I believe that that's true. Of course that's true.
Yeah.
But he does not feel accepted by you or your husband.
Huh.
He feels like he has to.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Hold on.
How else we can.
I know. Okay. We'll get to that. But he feels like he has to be a different person than who God made him to be okay with you. And that's what he's rebelling against.
Well, I don't know what to say. I mean,
well, okay, at the break, we're going to the break right now. Why don't you think about that? Were there things in the past that, you know, maybe it's a little bit of insight as to his feeling some rejection? We'll talk about it right after this.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity, because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change, and that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption, but you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking to Rosemary, and she is in the midst of one of the toughest things, and one of the most common things that we're starting to deal with here is being the parent to a grown child who does childish things even though they have the age equivalent of a grown-up. And Chris has just talked about this dilemma, and it happens so much, of a child never feeling accepted for who they are. Chris, continue with Rosemary. Let's see if we can provide some good help here.
Yeah, Rosemary, because you've done a great job of explaining, like, this is a pattern that has repeated itself over and over for many years. And so there's ways to break the pattern, but it's going to take some courage and humility on your part. So what I want you to be able to do is ask your son. You can either do this over the phone or even do it over email. Email might be safer. But just the recognition of, like, that you miss him, that you love him, that you care for him, you care for the grandchildren. But I want you to ask your son this question. What is it like for you, and what has it been like for you to be my son? And what's it been like in our home? Now, that's a risky move because, yes, he can still do the protest, he can still do the complaining, all that, but I want you to go in there with empathy. And one key important ingredient here is empathy does not mean agreement. You don't have to agree with his assessment, but I want you to try to understand of where he's coming from, because unless you understand what he's protesting against, you guys, that will never solve the problem. The pattern will repeat itself.
And you're saying no defense, right?
No defense. No defense whatsoever. No explanation. Just, hey, I'm here to listen deeply into your experience and what you have to say.
Both do it, or just her?
I think they both do it. What's it like? What's it been like to be our son?
Okay. What do you think about that, Rosemary? How do you think that?
Part of the big problem that he doesn't
care about, you know, my husband is an older man now, and my husband has cancer. Not one time did my son ever acknowledge his birthday or Father's Day or say how you doing, you know, and that's hurtful.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Same thing for Mother's Day. And so I said, you know, how can you tell us you love us when your actions don't even show it? You know, and he says, oh, Mom, you know, I'm just not like that. I'm so busy. I don't have time for that, you know, and I can't believe you're upset about that. Hmm. And so, you know, maybe that's what he's upset about, that I bring up the fact that I don't feel that he loves us. And even growing up, even as a teenager, I never felt that he loved us back then. So, you know, and like I said, we have tried to show him we love him, unconditional love.
Yeah, so, but Rosemary, but you're addressing it. You have built up resentment from the time he was a teenager. He feels that resentment. He's not going to draw close to it. He's afraid of it.
Okay.
Did you ever get any kind of help for him? Reach out to anybody and say, "Wow, this is kind of beyond us."
No, well, he went through. I mean, he got in trouble in school, so he got help, you know, with counseling and detention, and then he joined the Navy, and he got in trouble there, and so he got counseling there for him. But I mean, he's always pushed us away. So, mm-hmm.
And Rosemary, as you think about this risky question that Chris is advising you to ask your son, do you have any idea what one of the most painful experiences your son would bring up about? Yeah, this really hurt as I was with my family of origin. What would your son say?
Very early on,
he would
think of. Something?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I've always told him he is a very prideful person, you know. And
But Rosemary, what would your son? Hold on. What would your son say?
Well, he would probably say that I'm critical of the fact that, you know, I bring up the fact that he's prideful. That, you know, I don't feel like, you know, I'm going to sugarcoat things with him, and I've never sugarcoated things.
Okay.
And so maybe
so
the
here's
fact
this.
That I've tried to be truthful.
Okay, so
that,
here's
that he
here's this.
Like that.
Chris made a leap there that he doesn't feel accepted. Well, I think what you're saying here is a real strong example of why a child might not feel accepted if there was more criticism and then praise, or even acknowledging the problem to the extent that we have to get some help, versus we just expect this to get better on its own, and when it doesn't, we just throw up our hands. So prideful is a really, really tough indictment for a child to be with. It's kind of hard to even know how to start when you're told that you're prideful, you know? So I really wonder
we
have a problem
with the
acceptance thing.
And Rosemary, he hasn't made it easy. Rosemary, he hasn't made it easy for you. He's made a lot of mistakes. He has hurt you both deeply, and it continues. And it's gotten toxic. He cursed you out recently.
Yeah.
So we validate. Yes. It's been an incredibly difficult relationship. But let's go back to a biblical principle here. We cannot lose with humility. At least in God's eyes, he will bless your humble palm branch that you might give to your son to say, I think that I have been critical of you. I've tried my best to love you, but I think it's come across as some heavy criticism. Would you tell me what that's been like for you? But but I want to add to that. You also have every right to protect yourself and to limit yourself to his toxic behavior so that if he continues drinking and cursing you out, then it's good to keep a safe distance. But for the sake of the grandchildren, I hope you will take this step that Chris is advising you to take.
I've never seen this in any manual, but I think probably you'd have to say the longer that someone like him goes without reaching out, probably it's an indicator of the depth of his hurt. and determination to not allow you any kind of space to do any kind of just interaction, because it all comes across to him as negative. He's the problem. He's the blame. All of that. So,
I also want to say this.
Yeah, I want to say this. Now, we're talking to you. If we were talking to him, we'd have a totally different track that we'd be saying. We'd be saying to him, there's no excuse for you to ever cuss out your parents. Mm-hmm. We'd be saying, mm-hmm. how much drinking is there a problem? And then we'd say, look, yeah, maybe you got hurt. Maybe you felt this, but that was your job to go get help for that. So a different track for him. But when we're talking to you, we're saying, as much as it's up to you, here are some things that you can do. Humbling down, saying, asking what it felt like, and really apologizing for not being sensitive enough. When you end up with a rebellious kid, it's hard to connect with the sensitivity with them. You think they're so hard and strong and bold. But maybe that is the beginning. Both of you saying, let's try to start over. We have made some mistakes. Maybe that would open him up to start to deal with his, because he's a problem. And if I was talking to him, it'd be a different approach totally. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you a copy of Forgiving What You'll Never Forget. And there's going to be some great insight in that book. I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back. And I think it's going to help you, rather than react to whatever he's throwing at you, to try to respond to that in a different way. I'm so sorry that you are in this situation. And I hope something we've said might open a door. That's really what we want to see happen. We want to see the door opened up. All right. 1-800-229-3000. Larry Sonnenberg is in the studio. Larry, how you doing today?
Doing good. Thanks, Steve.
Good. Talk to us. I know that you are a brand new granddaddy with Jacob. Edward is the new grandson.
Aww.
That's got to be exciting.
Yeah. I didn't know
that's
that.
That's awesome.
Congrats.
Thank you. I didn't
really
do anything. I just showed up.
You just showed up.
Okay. We have a matching gift, and we're making good progress. Today I can report to you we are 70% matched.
Woo-hoo.
We've got 30%
awesome.
To go. 96,300 left to go. So every dollar you give up to that amount will be matched, and it's important. And golly, I have a testimony, Steve, from an Every Man's
Battle
Workshop.
Well, we'll do it when we come back from the break. We'll do it right when we come back. Okay.
All right.
So you're listening to New Life Live. If you need help for anything, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you could help us for any reason, we'll send you John Townsend's brand new book, People Fuel. It is great. Our way of saying thank you. We'll be back right after this for more New Life.
I came into this thinking that my husband was the cause of many of our issues.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Columbus, Ohio, October 25th to the 27th.
But after learning about our attachment styles, I understood how our past hurts were playing into our present problems.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship, and then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
Here at this workshop, we had our first ever conversation without yelling, blaming, and accusing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As you're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We've got Larry in the studio here. Larry, you've got a testimony.
Yeah,
so let's
quickly
hear that testimony.
I want to read this because it's Every Man's Battle Workshop Week coming right up here. And this is from our last workshop. I was optimistic entering this workshop. However, I gave myself every excuse why I couldn't go. I didn't have the finances. I can't take the time off. I don't need more people telling me things I already know. But I had enough men in leadership roles telling me to do it. So I came, putting my faith in others that know more than me. This workshop has broken me down, allowed me to expose myself, exposure I didn't believe or knew I had. Mm. But the second half of the workshop showed me how to heal, showed me there is hope, showed me God's plan is larger, greater, and more loving than mine. Mm. So I just want to say, guys who are objecting to the workshop, you need to listen to this and sign up.
Yeah.
And folks who are thinking about donating to the workshop, this is what happens. Or donating to the New Life, this is what happens. Life's change. Mm-hmm. So
there's a critical thing that I want to point out in this testimony, yeah. And that is for leaders, for church leaders and ministry leaders that mm-hmm. feel stuck and about resources in this area.
Thank you.
Refer it. Refer the people, the guys who are suffering, to this workshop. We're not here to supplant anything that happens in the church, but only to come alongside and offer a critical service that allows healing
right.
with a Christ center at the heart of it, but in really practical ways to keep going towards sexual healing and health.
Right. Mm.
So, and if you're a woman connected to a man with this, just ask him, please go online, call them, get the help that you need.
So final thought, Steve, is the Beyond the Matching Gift, I commented yesterday in one of the programs, Club New Life, we haven't been paying attention to. I just want to point out, if you listen Monday's program with Amanda Anderson, two of her videos are up this week. Wise and Foolish Relationships, and we hope you go and see those or mm-hmm. sign up for New Life to get access to those. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Come help us, and I really believe you will be blessed when you do. 1-800-229-3000 to be on the program next hour, our last call this hour. If you're on, hold on. But Ruth, Atlanta, Georgia, how can we help you today?
Hi. I guess just a few of your prior calls were very good information for me because they helped me in other areas, but I've got a lot of stuff going on. And
what's happening?
I guess the main thing that I called about was, you know, I have been on a hamster wheel. Like, I just can't get off. I keep going back around and around and around because I can't get past I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say that I had an infidelity in my marriage, and my marriage was brought to an end in 2013. And I have apologized, and I'm the one that I can't get past what happened because it was a setup, first of all.
Tell me about that. How was it a setup?
Okay, because this person who was an acquaintance or a work partner of my ex's, he brought him to my house because I did do income taxes at the time. I was mm-hmm. doing them in my home as a second income. And he brought his couple friends in the house for me to do them. And then after that, he continued to bring the mail back around to my house many times. And I thought, you know, this man is flirting with me. And I brought it to my husband's attention at the time, my ex-husband. And he basically continued to bring this
person into my home after I had confronted him and let him know that this person was not a good person. He, you know, he was flirting. He was continually making passes. And, you know, it was almost set up for this to happen. For this, and it took months and months and months. But he took his word over mine. And months down the road, it happened. And once it happened, that was the end of it for me because I couldn't go back. I'm like, you know, it was set up
so
to happen.
What question?
I've never been respected in the marriage to begin with.
Okay, so what question
you know,
do you have for
overtime.
Us? What question
okay,
for
question
us?
My question is, all right, so if you're sitting on a fence and you need to move forward, how do you get off the fence? How do you get off the fence? And if they won't accept your apology because you can't make them, if you said it 40 times and they don't, you know, they don't, they won't accept it?
You mean your husband?
I don't know.
You're talking about your husband?
Yeah, my ex. Yes,
well, it sounds like to me you're more blaming him than wanting his forgiveness. That's what it sounded like, that it's his fault that he didn't listen to you.
Yeah. Well, I know I'm forgiven.
Ruth.
I'm forgiven.
Ruth, let me jump in really quickly here. So when we find ourselves in a cycle that's unresolved, it means we're trying to solve the wrong problem. So, and you said the wrong problem you're trying to solve is getting your ex-husband to forgive you. You're not in control of that. Just like you weren't in control of him bringing this guy, this dangerous person, over. But one thing that you haven't done is taking control of yourself in your own life. You didn't say to your husband, the second this guy comes over, I'm out of the house. I'm not sticking around for this. I'm not doing this. It's holding your own value, holding your own worth, and protecting that where your husband couldn't. And that is a very painful thing in your marriage when your husband doesn't respect your respect your requests. But one of the things I like to say, if you're not going to hear my boundary, then you're going to feel my boundary. And so, and I think what's happening underneath all of that is you haven't forgiven yourself.
Yes, I know, and you're right. You know why you're right? Because I have it in my head that, you know, I'm going to say 10 commandments, and you break it, and you can't unbreak it because it's already broken. And I understand that when you get to the Golden Gates, there's only one.
Well, hold on. Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation. That's your work. Your work is to move into this thing that I have got to learn to continue to receive the forgiveness of God, partner with the forgiveness of God by forgiving myself as I take full ownership of what I've done.
So, Ruth, I want you to try on a statement, which is, I chose to be unfaithful and no one forced me. And that's entirely separate from all the harm and the damage that your husband did. And he did. So I want to add in, I don't think you've forgiven your husband for what he has done. And whether or not he repents of his part in all of this, those are two things you can work on. Taking that I statement both to your husband and to God, and then acknowledging you maybe need to work on forgiving your husband.
It's so complex. It's so hard. But I don't think we ever move forward until the Bible tells us we choose to carry our own load, the burden of responsibility. It's a tough one. But once we get there, that's where I believe change and transformation really starts to take hold. And we get to see miracles happen, not in somebody else's life, but in our life. And that's what we want to see for you. No matter what you're going through, we want to help you. And we have people, we were just doing devotions today, and these wonderful people waiting there just to take your phone call because they care about you, they love you, and that's what they got up this morning to go to work for. Every man's battle is this weekend. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us, we will send you People Fuel by Dr. John Townsend. If you want it, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you want to join us for the next program, 1-800-229-3000. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life.
We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.